traffic, by the way. Scorecard is the name of the show. Previously, Golf on CBS. Shane Bacon, Patrick McDonald, Johnson Wagner here at the PGA Championship. Fellas, first time doing the show all together. Patrick, how you feeling?
I feel good. I mean, Johnson, Shane wasn't on the scorecard last week, the inaugural episode. I think he had something more important to do.
Yeah, congrats on the U.S. Open,
thank
by the way.
Yes,
getting through local.
You, yeah. So, you know what? I was thinking about if I played horribly and missed the show,
That's
one thing. But if you play decent, at least you can tout that.
Do you know where you're going for sectionals yet?
I think I'm
going
to do the one in the Northeast. I think I'm going to do Purchase.
Canoobla?
Got through local U.S. Open qualifier last Tuesday. So then you go to Golf's Longest Day on June 8th, and had to move some scheduling around, but looking forward to
it. It's always nice playing that one up in the Met section because you get to play, it's twosomes, and you play two, is it Century and Old Oaks?
They changed one of them. I think it's Country Club of Purchase now, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna practice, Patrick.
Caddy? Who's on the bag?
You know what? I asked the kid to caddy for me when I got through U.S. Amateur 36-hole day as well. He was a local caddy at the time. Very aggressive caddy, both in approach and personality.
Trackman guy?
No.
Not
just
him?
Just a lot of like, what are we doing here? He talked me to hitting driver on the 36th hole at the U.S. Amateur. It was kind of a drivable par 4. I would have never hit that shot. It led to birdie and kind of was the thing that got me through. So hit him up and ask. Okay. But nobody's here to hear me talk about U.S. Open qualifying. We're here because we're here at a major championship, Aronimink, which has been an awesome, awesome golf course to kind of see, at least for me, for the first time, Johnson, this week. A very old-school Northeast golf course. Not tight corridors. I think you see tight corridors a lot of the time on the quote-unquote shorter major championship venues. Corridors are quite wide in terms of the golf course, but it is just ideal in terms of rough and green complexes.
I was here back in 2011. Tigers event, the AT&T National, moved away from Congressional for a couple years when they were hosting the U.S. Open, and it's a completely different golf course. When I got on the grounds, it was like, I don't even recognize it. All the trees, I mean, it was like an Oakmont back in the 90s, all the tree-lined holes. And the agronomy, though, is outstanding. I mean, those fairways out there, they give me the willies. If there's any rain, I do not want to chip off of it because they are so tight, and it's crazy.
And expecting potentially a little rain overnight into Thursday, Patrick. It's a golf course that the hope, I think, when Gil Hance came in and restored it was when the PGA showed up, it'd play relatively firm and fast. Probably not going to be the case in the opening round, but I think we might get that over the last three rounds.
Yeah, we might. And you see the bunkers in particular. That's kind of been the big thing that Hance did, in addition to the trees, of course, adding, you know, more than doubling them, but keeping the same footprint, but just making one into three or four, whatever it was. But seems like a lot of them are like 300, 305 yards out there. From what I've heard this week, the magic number is 305 from a couple caddies. And if you're able to carry that distance, which a lot of these guys can definitely do that, the golf course really opens up. And even though we want kind of these guys to be tested a little bit, seems like it's going to be a second shot. And if the rain comes, point and shoot and fire.
174 bunkers on the golf course. I have something I want to throw y'all's way to start. 21 under is the scoring record at the PGA Championship. I think that'll get eclipsed this week by somebody. I'm not sure who. We'll get to picks at the end of the show. But I think 21 under is in jeopardy.
I'm taking the under on that.
I am too.
I mean, so they topped the rough today. They cut maybe an inch off of it yesterday when I was watching these guys play out of the rough. Nobody hit the green from any hole out of the rough. Mm-hmm. And with it being topped, it's a little bit different now. It's a par 70. And I just think with the density of the rough, the ball's going to drop. It's just not easy to get the ball onto the green. And then the intricacies of the green complexes. I was thinking going into the week the same as you, but after walking on the grounds and seeing this golf course like up close and personal, I think I'm taking under.
I'm in like the 15 under range. Okay. I think these guys are going to aim for 4 under every single day, and I think they're not going to get it, and I think 15 under is kind of the thing.
I had a chance to talk to some players, I'm sure you have as well, talk to players and caddies and just kind of get a feel for the golf course. I think the thing I'm hearing is we talked off the top, a lot of drivers. I think you might see a couple fairway woods depending on the wind direction. Very, very blow. It's very blustery today, I think, with the weather potentially coming in. But it feels like the stress really starts with the second shot.
Yeah, it's going to be one with the iron play this week, which is kind of weird because I think the May PGA Championship has really identified some of the best drivers in the world. You think about Brooks Koepka, of course, Colin Morikawa, not the longest, but super accurate, maybe the most accurate in the world. And even someone like Xander Schauffele in 24 drove the ball on a string leading up to that championship. Bryson DeChambeau's played great in this tournament, hasn't won it, but one of the best drivers as well. It's just going to be different because, one, despite the rough, Johnson, these fairways are wide. They are wide.
Well, they need to play firm. When you look at holes like 15, 16 down that hillside, like the 15th hole, if you draw the golf ball, it better land in the right edge of the fairway or it's going all the way in the rough. And then 16, the dogleg to the left, the fairway camber's the other way, and so if you fade it, you better land it on the left side. So if it's firm, they're definitely wide, but they play a little bit more narrow. But to your point on the 305, when you look at the 10th hole, like 10 is an awesome fairway, and it's got that big undulations. But if you can cover that bunker and catch that downslope, guys, you're going to have 70 yards. But then if you're a guy like Michael Block and you're hitting 270,
why are you throwing him on?
Well, I mean, you know,
you could have gone Sean McKeel, Y.E. Yang
out of the gate.
Well, but you're on an upslope coming in from like 180 yards, and it's going to be the haves and have nots when it comes to off the tee.
Yep.
Blocky out with Rasmus Højgaard and Dustin Johnson, 12-10 off the 10th. Patrick, I got a question for you.
Just seemed like, hey, DJ, we'll let you in the PGA, but we're going to give you Blocky.
Does Dustin know who Blocky is? Is there a chance that Dustin doesn't know a lot about Blocky?
What do you do in the 2023 PGA? Did he have the weekend off?
I'm assuming
probably
had the weekend off.
Yeah, I'm guessing he took the weekend off and did not watch any of
it'll be potentially an introduction of multiple levels for Dustin Johnson on the tee, obviously getting the invite into the field. In terms of Michael Blocky, I think when you look at major championship setups, you'd rather have a short one where you could hit driver all over the place.
Yeah, but I just think this golf course, Oak Hill had a little bit more difficulty with the weather and other conditions that he could sort of veteran his way around the golf course. I think this one is just primed for a 185-mile-an-hour ball speed guy to just demolish it.
I think early in the week I was leaning towards distance didn't matter as much as it does at a lot of major venues. I'm starting to get the sense that distance is going to be a big thing.
Well, I mean, think about the par 5 ninth. I mean, there's only two par 5s. Pretty much everybody can reach 16, but it's going to be very few people getting it up the hill, especially if they play that back tee at 620 or whatever it tips out to.
Yeah, and even that hole, like if you're 25, 30 yards short, that's coming down 100 yards with kind of how that careens up the hill.
Classic architecture, I think, is something that like somebody like myself that's a golf dork loves. Do the pros love it, I guess is my question. Do they care about it? Does this do anything for half the field in terms of coming to a Donald Ross design that has so much history, or do they show up and it's just simply business as usual?
Well, I think if you play well, you're going to love the golf course. It doesn't matter whatever you're on. Like, I'm sure Xander Schauffele loved Valhalla, but if you asked him truthfully, is it a good golf course, he'd probably say, maybe not. You know, it asked kind of the same question every single hole. Can you hit a mid to long iron well? And he did it the best that week. But I do think some of the guys in this field, you know, Rory McIlroy's a golf architecture nut. Ryan Gerard's a player who I've spent some time with. He's kind of bummed out with the state of the PGA Tour just because Wailea was his favorite course there. Seth Rayner design, he's upset they took away the Barracuda too, since that's his lone
Barracuda.
Win. But he comes here, he's like, you know, you don't get these old school classical golf courses on the PGA Tour, especially with the restored nature of it with hands coming in here. So it could ignite maybe the creative juices and bring an extra pep in the step, but most of these guys don't need that extra energy for a major championship.
I think a lot of PGA Tour players are architecture junkies. I think there's the handful that are all business, and like, I bet there's a few players in the field that don't even know who Donald Ross is.
Right, yes.
But it's a good mixture. But I mean, the guy like Zach Blair, I loved playing with him because I love architecture as well. And anytime we got paired together, we were just chatting all day long. Zach Blair would love this place.
Yeah, I mean, the old stories of Ben Crenshaw. He'd go play practice rounds at other golf courses in the area of where the host course was that week, because he just simply wanted to take in that level of golf course. I mean, you think about maybe some of the veteran players like a Justin Rose or Rory, who cares. But for the most part, I mean, to your point, when you were playing pro golf, you show up a place, did you care who designed it?
I mean, if it was someone I loved, yeah. I mean, I would always be aware of who did design it. And you can tell, I mean, when you play a lot of golf courses, you know a Reese Jones course, you know the difference between, you know, a Fazio. So, yeah, I would always pay attention.
I'm going to give you guys some tee times right here for Thursday. I'm gonna say, where does the winner come out of? And then we'll get to our picks in a bit. But you got Cam Young, Keegan, and JT grouped together. You got Scotty, Fitzy, and Justin Rose grouped together. That's a very good one. Bryson, Ludwig, and Ricky. Xander, Brooks, Tyrrell Hatton, Rory, Jordan Spieth, and John Rahm. Patrick, which of those groupings do you feel like the winner comes out of?
I'm going to go with Bryson, Ricky, and Ludwig.
Nice.
I think, like I mentioned, the PGA of America is begging Bryson DeChambeau to raise the Wanamaker Trophy with how they've set up golf courses in the past and this week as well. Ludwig, I think there's a stench around him, kind of similar to...
A stench?
That
guy
yes.
didn't smell?
Have you
looked at him?
He uses kind of that new age deodorant that doesn't have any aluminum,
yeah, aluminum
in it.
Free.
You need the aluminum, right? You're either going to live a couple years longer or you're going to smell good. I'd rather take the smell good and take me off this earth a couple years earlier. But kind of like Xander Schauffele in 2024, didn't close at the Players, booted away the Genesis Invitational, and then won the PGA Championship. I see a lot of similarities there. And then Ricky Fowler, Wags, you had him as the pick last week at your home place, and he almost did it for you.
Gosh, he did. He's playing some good golf. It's nice to see him back on form, and you could feel the energy around Quail Hollow on that back nine Sunday when he was about the sixth to last group, and that lake, I was walking with another group on 15, and he was down on 16 green, and there was a buzz. It would be big for this tournament and all of professional golf if Ricky can get back on the top.
Seemed like you were thinking Scotty, Fitzy, and Rose. I saw your eyebrows go up when that one got
McLaren.
That's not
McLaren Irons.
Not my official pick is not coming from that group, but I do think Scotty's going
to
play great.
If you had to go with one of them, that's one. By the way, Johnson Wagner last week self-named the refrigerator, cooling off the golfers. We're hoping that is not the case come the weekend when Wags is out with some of the biggest names in the field. I'm just getting going here on Scorecard. We're going to dive in more of the golf course, talk about the favorites, and obviously get to our picks here in just a bit. Back here on Scorecard, Shane Patrick Johnson. Fellas, I want to go through the recent champions here of the PGA, because every year I feel like we get to the PGA Championship and people maybe aren't as excited as they might get it at Augusta National or U.S. Open, and then every year we have an incredible weekend and a great champion. Since 2017, JT, Brooks, Morikawa, Phil, JT, Koepka, Xander, and Scotty. I asked our buddy Justin Ray about just the stats in terms of how high names the players are in the world ranking. 7 of 9 were in the top 15 in the OWGR. The two exceptions were Phil and Brooks Koepka. For whatever reason, Patrick, we feel like the best players, if you will, show up and win this thing.
And give some love to Jimmy Walker.
I mean, dude, when that didn't happen, right?
When he
won, he was on top.
He was
playing great golf at that time. I mean, had he not gotten Lyme disease, who knows where he'd be.
Yeah.
Watched him play a few holes yesterday. Swing still looks good.
God, I don't think I've ever seen a player hit their long irons higher than Jimmy Walker. He can hit them.
Will Zalatoris.
Zalatoris hits it high as well. But, I mean, I feel like we get to the weekend and all the golf course talk and everything kind of goes out the window, and we usually kind of have two heavyweights going at it.
Yeah, I think one part is the move in the schedule. If you look at the May PGA Championship, these guys are trying to peak at the players going into the Masters, and most of them are, and you see a lot of the correlation between the Masters and the PGA now, because the condensed window of major championships, we've seen a lot of multiple-time major winners in recent memory. Just go to Xander Schauffele, Scottie Scheffler last year. Colin Morikawa won his majors both in under a calendar year, and I think that's part of the reason why is the top guys, Johnson, they're gearing up for the Masters, and by the time the PGA comes, they're kind of at 30,000 feet.
Yeah, I never really thought about it that way, but that makes a lot of sense.
Thank you. Kind of just pulled that
just
out of thin air, honestly.
Patrick Tate, kind of put it on social. I like it. I mean, it is interesting with this run. I mean, and Johnson, we talked about it on Sunday, the exhaustion for some of the guys that have played a ton of golf. I mean, if you added the Zurich to your schedule, there's potential to be playing 5-6 straight weeks. There are some of the big names we're going to talk about in terms of favorites that have played a boatload of tournament golf as of late.
Well, and I mean, when you talk about Cam Young specifically, I mean, the way – when you're in contention multiple weeks, it wears you down. The only person I've ever been able to see sustain it in back-to-back weeks is Scotty. I mean, Tiger didn't play very often. Now Scotty's starting to take that sort of recipe. But when you look at Cam Young, wire-to-wire at Doral on that golf course, that's a stressful place to play. Last week at Quail Hollow, stressful place to play. And you could see it sort of wearing him down on Sunday with the performance. Like, he just lost his ball striking.
Would you be more surprised if Cam was not in the conversation versus if he goes on to win this thing? I mean, if he just was completely non-existent, a little like what we saw on Sunday where he putted poorly?
I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. I'd be more surprised to see him win.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, he's playing such good golf, and we're going to talk about the favorites just in it here in a bit. I mean, obviously, Scotty's on that list. I feel like it coming into this week, talking favorites, feels like nobody's quite sure who is the favorite at this PGA.
No, I think Cam Young's certainly up there. He's been the hottest player over these last 3 months, strokes gained-wise, wins-wise, just about everything. You have the PGA connection as well. You think about his caddy, Kyle Strabinski. He's from the Philly area. Cameron Young's first win came at Sedgefield of Donald Ross Design, and he grew up playing kind of old classical golf courses, and it probably fits his eye. But I do think the stamina thing's a really good point, Wags, because in 2024, Scottie Scheffler learned the hard way at Pinehurst number 2. He won the Memorial, a very stressful tournament, came to Pinehurst number 2, the favorite. Everyone thought he was going to win that tournament and just ran out of gas and was never a factor. So I am curious if it catches up with him.
Wags, I was going to ask about fatigue as a pro golfer. Like, going into a week, could you feel yourself when you were tired? Like, did you know on Tuesday I'm not going to have 100%?
Absolutely. I mean, especially coming off of, like, a golf's longest day, which you're about to experience. I mean, it was always going to back then it was going to Memphis, and I would never play on Tuesday. And then Wednesday Pro-Am was just – it was exhausting. And, yeah, you can certainly feel it now. The difference between me and a Cameron Young, Cameron Young's in just a little bit better shape than I was, even when I was in my prime, just a little bit better shape.
Shots
so
fired.
He's probably going to be fine. And I love the comment because, like, you putt on these greens. I mean, he grew up playing at Sleepy Hollow. Mm-hmm. You got to have so much imagination and creativity when you're putting. So, I mean, I'm not debating the fact that this is an amazing venue for Cameron Young, considering the fact that he is one of the few guys that can carry the driver 315, 320 when needed.
Yeah, I just think he'll be very comfortable this week. Not that he needs it, but just having that extra layer of comfort knowing how well he's playing, I think it could mean something.
Wags, of the four names right now, they're kind of dominating men's professional golf. Scottie Scheffler, Cam Fitzpatrick, Matt, not Alex, even though Alex has been playing some great golf, and Rory. Of those four, who do you think this golf course fits the best?
I mean, you got to think Rory. I mean, listening to him talk about this golf course and just going to absolutely ship it off the tee.
Hit driver everywhere.
But I mean, it's just there's not that many guys that have that ability to just take bunkers out of play and fly it up there. And with his length and his strength, even if he's playing from the rough, he's going to be able to get it on the green and probably get it fairly close.
Mm-hmm. I'll go a different way. I don't know if there's a golf course that doesn't fit Scottie Scheffler well. And if he can clear some of that trouble as well. The driver, I think, has been great really ever since the Florida swing, trying to figure out which one he liked. He struggled at the API and then the Players' Championship too. That just opens up everything for Scottie Scheffler and his bag of tricks with how many toys he can play with. No one else can kind of shape the shots that's required around this place. And even though the approach play might be a little bit down compared to 24 and 25, it's still really good and it's trending in the right direction really ever since that third round at Augusta National.
If it has 18 holes and 18 flags and tee boxes, you think Scottie's going to have success?
Yes. I think the one thing I'm curious about with Scottie, well, maybe two, I'm already putting my foot in my mouth, is the start, obviously. And Wags, you've kind of been on it where you think the comebacks needed is going to serve him well when he is in pole position. But I look to how he played at the U.S. Open at Oakmont last year and kind of how the severity of those greens from inside 10 feet really befuddled him. If he putted well at Oakmont, I thought he would have won the U.S. Open last year. I'm curious if something similar happens this week.
The undulations on these greens are different. It's not something you see on a week-in, week-out basis. Or even, I mean, I can't think of another golf course on the PGA Tour schedule that can even mimic what these do.
Yeah,
other than
maybe
Augusta.
Tour level outside of Augusta National. I mean, you think about all the restoration where Gil Hans's name's going to be tossed out a lot on the broadcast over the next few days. But these greens are the original Donald Ross's greens design back in the 1920s. Ton of undulation, big spines in the middle of the greens. It really demands great iron play, precision in terms of approaches to really have a chance at birdie. And if you pull it off, the ball actually funnels toward the hole. So you'll see the great iron players have a lot of success. So we're going to take a break and dive deeper into the favorites. Talk a little more Scottie, a little Cam, Fitzy, and then dive into some of the names that we're not talking enough about. There's some really good names, players that have had great years that are sleepers this week at Ronimink. Welcome back to Scorecard. Don't forget to subscribe to the Scorecard audio feed. It's now in podcast form.
Nice.
This is like the ninth iteration of the show, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, we were talking last week. I think we're the first YouTube to TV to podcast show in the history.
I think the next is we write our show and put it in a newspaper.
I think we're on radio next, then newspaper. I think
that's the natural progression. And then it disappears. Or it's Morse code.
Well, I'm taking that out of there.
Okay. We've got a Morse code. Diving into some of the favorites, we're talking about Scottie. 10 straight American winners at the PGA Championship, I think, was a bit surprising. Think about the international flair coming to this week. I feel like the internationals have been playing very good golf. We talk Scottie. Rory, not played a ton of golf since the Masters. I don't think anybody's worried about Rory and what we expect to see out of him. A look here at those past champions we mentioned, Jimmy Walker back in 2016 at Baltusrol. I wanted to ask you, who do you have right now as the hottest player in golf, Patrick?
The hottest player in golf, Cameron Young. And I think he's making golf look the easiest. Just, I mean, the way he's driving the golf ball, especially the way he did around Augusta National. He was hitting, what, like 12 fairways a day? If he does anything like this, it might not matter if he's a little bit fatigued just with how well it's going to set up and open up his game. But I think right now the hottest player in golf and the best player and the most talented, I think, are three different guys.
That's interesting. Cameron Young, I was looking this up, T7, T3, win, T3, T25 after the Masters, win, T10. And his last seven starts. A little hard to argue. I guess the argument could be made about Scottie Scheffler, three straight seconds, and a guy that
Stuart
literally
sink.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm walking around earlier. Sink.
But the thing is, like, has Cam Young really closed the gap on Scottie Scheffler in the OWGR? Like, Scottie keeps finishing second
That's
every week.
Point.
I mean, it's just remarkable how consistent he's been and how great he's been as well.
So dating back to I was looking at this about Scottie, because I look at the Wikipedia pages of these golfers way too often. I donate to Wikipedia as well when they ask me to.
That's nice of you.
I mean, I use the website a lot.
That's very nice.
21 majors. You guys don't do it. Come on.
Are you kidding me?
What? Throw a fiver their way. You're on TV.
No,
You're rich.
No, I'll
drove here in your Rolls Royce.
I'm more charitable to, like, orphans, orphanage,
St.
stuff
Jude.
Like that. St. Jude. Yes,
Wikipedia
as well.
Is important to me. 21 majors since 2021 for Scottie Scheffler. 4 wins, 9 top fives, 16 top tens, and he's missed one cut. The consistency at these majors, to Patrick's point earlier, there's not a golf course that doesn't fit the guy because the guy can play anywhere.
And when you look at the places where he's won, I mean, he's won everywhere. It's mm-hmm. it's just absurd. The driver was the big thing on the West Coast and through the Florida swing. And since he's figured that out, he's gone second, second, second. I mean, it's just, I think this is his to take.
Yeah, and I mean, I talk about Cam Young being the hottest player in the world. Scottie Scheffler beat him in two of those tournaments as well. So.
And he's lost to Fitzpatrick, Rory, and Cameron
yeah.
Young. I mean, these are the names you're losing to. I want to ask about the LIV guys, because I think we were all disappointed with Rahm and Bryson at the Masters this year. Obviously, there was a lot of smoke that we didn't know about floating around those players at the Masters. I do wonder if it's now motivation. And I think specifically with John Rahm, because Bryson's played great at the majors. I know he hadn't won as many as maybe he had a chance to win. But in terms of John Rahm, I do find this week massively important for him. And I wonder if he's now motivated to go out and prove I'm still capable of playing high-level golf against everybody.
Yeah, I would be interested to know if Rahm knew about the Saudi PIF pulling funding before the Masters or after.
Rory mentioned in his press conference he'd heard about stuff like that, rumors floated in March. I'm assuming if Rory heard it, Rahm probably heard it as well.
Yeah, but then you hear some players from LIV, it came as a shock, and Bryson said it came as a shock to him. If he's going to be a potentially $500 million man, you would think, what is the $300 million man going to know? So I'm curious to see if that was kind of why he shot, what was it, 76 in round one at Augusta National and then looked a lot more like himself. But I think a good start would go a really long way for someone like John Rahm to play himself into this tournament, get the juices flowing, and not feeling like he has to chase or kind of just be down in the dumps. I mean, he wins LIV Golf Mexico City, and I can't help but be kind of bummed about
right.
it because he's winning tournaments like that, but he's not winning tournaments that are going to matter in 5, 10, and beyond.
And not contending. I mean, yeah. That's the thing. Outside of Quail Hollow, where he had a real run at it last year at the PGA, we have not seen Rahm make much noise.
I think he's going to have a good week this week. In his press conference yesterday, I thought it was interesting. He was asked about completing the Spanish Grand Slam. No Spaniards ever won the PGA Championship. And his appreciation of history and mm-hmm. I think his desire to be a part of it and to be the first Spaniard to win this event, I think it would be massive. And I fully expect him to be there.
We haven't mentioned Jordan Spieth's name yet. There's some history on the line for Jordan Spieth if he can win. Any shot of not winning but getting in contention?
Yeah.
That's a yes?
No. Just like I'm kind of thinking about Spieth, where he's going to be on this golf course throughout the week, and so I'm going to 100 different areas.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you where he's going to be on the golf course is about 40
everywhere.
Left and 40 right.
Exactly. So I think, like he mentioned, every part of his game is a weapon. Unfortunately, you think about like superhero villains like Thanos with all the stones.
The Infinity Ring.
Kind of used
against him. They're trying to get the youths watching our show.
Yeah,
here.
Look, it was used against him in the end. And so that has kind of been a thing with Jordan Spieth where those weapons have been turned against him at certain points. Put a longer driver in the golf bag. Last week there at Quail Hollow, drove it great, which is, you know, nice to see. The iron play, he hit it as well as ever at Augusta National. He couldn't putt, but then he putted great at Harbortown. It's like he's trolling us at this point. It's like, oh, this guy can't make a putt, let me do it next week. Oh, this guy can't find a fairway, let me do it the following week. And so I'm glad he got the competitive kind of late weekend contention juices flowing at Doral, because Johnson, that is something that Jordan Spieth had not done in a very long time, even if his game is a little bit sharper than, say, 2 years ago.
I think being a little bit shorter golf course, a little shorter venue, yes, I think he can absolutely get himself there. But as he said, as you've just said, he has not been able to put 4 days together, and he needs to put 4 days together. But, yeah, I think he can get in contention.
It's cute when you finish 12th, but you're not really going to win. And, I mean, I think that's basically the purgatory world that Spieth has lived in over the last 3 years, is there are signs of it. Putts well, hits it well, does things well, and doesn't do the other things well those weeks. But to put 4 days together, to put yourself in a chance to beat the Rorys and the Cams and the Fitzies and the Brysons, I don't think we're quite there yet. How about some other names? I got Ricky Fowler on my list in terms of other names that I think could kind of steal the show this week. Been playing some really, really good golf, played so well last week. Anything you guys are kind of paying attention to in terms of other storylines this week around the PGA?
I'm looking at a guy who's won two times this year in Chris Goddrop, where he's played great in major championships recently, finished top 25 in his debut at the Masters, a distant podium finish at the Open. You look at who he's beaten to, Rory McIlroy, Hideki Matsuyama, major championship winners. We've talked about the carry yardage. We've talked about home game models and, you know, Goddrop. All my Jersey friends root for Philadelphia teams. I understand they're close together, but I think it's a little bit of a cop-out, honestly.
So hometown favorite?
He's good. Yeah, Rutgers, okay. It's right there. Jersey Shore is probably right down the street. Based
just right
on my,
there.
It's just right there. And so,
is it closer than our hotel?
Oh, gosh, it might be. I don't know.
Our hotel's a hike.
If Keegan's getting asked questions about his comfort level in Philadelphia being a Boston guy, I think I'm giving Goddrop Philly.
Not as close as our hotel.
Yeah.
Keegan's hometown.
I like Goddard, but I'm looking at Xander Schauffele. I mean, Xander's been a guy that has played really well, hasn't closed the deal in a long time. And I think this golf course, when you looked at Valhalla, there was a bunch of coaches that said 180-mile-an-hour ball speed is a must to win around this golf course. And I think that that's very similar here. I think Xander's going to play great.
Be nice to see, again, there are so many names, I think, that we're just simply not spending a lot of time on. We're going to dive into a few more after the break. But it would just be nice to see one of those guys get in contention, potentially win, because it feels like the whole crew of that superstars kind of gotten forgotten in the game right now. We're focusing so much of our attention on Cam Young and Scotty for the right reasons. Obviously, they're playing great golf, but there are a lot of big names in the top 10 and 15 in the world that I feel like we're not paying enough attention to at major championships when we're starting to think about the week. And I think there are a lot of names that probably deserve a little bit of attention. So after the break, we're going to give them their attention. We'll dive into Ludwig and beyond, some of the players that are playing sneaky, consistent golf right now on the PGA Tour. Back around Scorecard, time to give a little love to some of the other names, if you will. I feel like in the field, Ludwig been playing excellent golf. I feel like nobody's talking about him. Colin Morikawa was kind of the names we started to focus on to start the season. I know he's battling a bit of injury right now, so he's still not 100%. Tommy Fleetwood, Victor Hovland. Are we not spending any time on these guys? Is all the oxygen in the room dedicated to the big names, to the big four right now?
How long can this Morikawa back injury persist?
I mean, it's
like Fred Couples
level
like
it's,
now.
It's going on a long time. It's worrying.
You think he's, you know, milking it a little bit or not?
I do not. I do not think I watched him hit a bunch of chip shots just outside earlier. I mean, he's walking gingerly. I'm concerned. I mean, it's. This is not something you mess around with.
Yeah, and a bummer considering. I mean, we've kind of been waiting for Colin Morikawa to get back to playing A-level golf. We get it to start the year. Has that weird issue with the Players on his second hole of the tournament, pulls out. And he's played kind of sneaky good golf despite the back injury, but not being 100% health-wise, it's got to be brutal in terms of trying to win a golf tournament.
I think maybe the good news, if you want to take the spin on it, is he was never going to carry those bunkers that everyone's talking about. So maybe just laying up short of them. Second shot golf course. This guy's still a top five, top three iron player, maybe top one, honestly, on the PGA Tour. And so if you want to spin it that way, he got around Harbortown, got around Augusta National. I think he can get around this place still.
Yeah, but you mentioned Augusta. He said the hardest part about it was walking.
Yeah.
Augusta, now, Aronimink's not quite as difficult to walk but it is as Augusta, but it's a heck of a lot more hilly than Harbortown and Doral.
Johnson, I wanted to throw Justin Rose your way because I think a lot of people in the golf world were confused with the iron switch. I mean, mid-season equipment change with his irons, it's incremental. It's decimal points in terms of what a professional golfer faces, but that matters when you're trying to beat Rory, Scotty, Cam, Matt Fitzpatrick, and the whole world right now at a golf tournament. A, are you still surprised by the iron play? And do you think it plays into his chances of potentially winning at a golf course? He's played well at in the past.
I absolutely think it has a lot to it. You mentioned it's just decimal points, but that's what he does with his body. That's what he does with his health.
He's got a truck. He drives around.
And to get any little advantage he can, that's what he does. And to make this decision mid-year, it's one thing if you do it after the playoffs.
100%.
And in September, you go through the process and you go through different irons and grinds and whatever it is, but to make the switch in the middle of the biggest stretch of golf of the year, it's shocking. Now, I did talk to him at Quail Hollow about it last week, and he said, you know, then his stats since those first 2 days at Doral have gotten better and better with the iron play, but why would you make that decision?
It's just he's doing the gambling thing where he's taking the sample size that you like. It's like, oh, this guy's number one in approach over the last two holes.
You
so he's
16,
my pick for this
it always
week.
Works.
But I think Jonathan Wall from Golf Digest had a picture of him on the range, and he's got like 25 irons right now going through. He's like, okay, I'm going to like this 7-iron after I hit it 10 times. That's in the bag this week. So it's just a mess.
Yeah, I mean, my dad used to tell me in range sessions before tournaments, if you don't have it now, you're not going to find it out here. I feel the same way on a Wednesday at a major championship trying to find it. You think about Justin Rose, he turns 46 this year. He's played such great, consistent golf at the toughest and best venues. You've got 5, 6, 7 more cracks at one of these things to win your second major. Again, at a golf course you know so well, to make the change. He's a rich guy. You know, breaking news, Justin Rose has a lot of money. I don't know how important the points on a brand deal are going to be for your longevity, but win another major would do a lot for who you are as a golfer.
Well, I mean, clearly the relationship with McLaren is important to him. I mean, he's a car guy, he's an F1 guy. So I think it's a great relationship to have. And if it were me, if I were McLaren, I would say, hey, the bag looks great.
Yeah.
Put your old irons back in there. We'd rather see you win a golf tournament with something else. We'll figure this out in the offseason.
Yeah, plenty of people are seeing that bag.
Yeah, it's very
they're,
orange.
They're getting their money's
it's
worth
very
just
bright.
On that.
Is there somebody else that's a name we haven't touched on the show yet that you feel like should get a little bit more love in terms of headed into this event, headed into Thursday, that we haven't quite touched on in terms of a player like a Vic Hovland or a Tommy Fleetwood?
Well, I'll say one name we haven't mentioned is Matt Fitzpatrick, honestly.
Yep.
We're talking about the four best players in the world, and this guy has 3 wins, one with his brother, of course, so maybe, you know, 2.5 you want to put, but someone who has played good golf in major championships, and it was around this time last year, Wags, where he kind of found his groove, finishing top 10 at Quail Hollow, so I think Fitzpatrick is a name that, even though he is a top 4 guy, people aren't really paying notice to him right now, almost.
I think Alex beats him this week.
Oh, wow. Okay. You want to wager on that one?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, I can't.
Legally.
Let's talk later.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Off
I
air.
Mean, you could bet handshakes or color of your shirt.
Just
you
pride.
Have to wear on the
for
show
love
next
the game.
Week.
Yes.
Just pride. Why do you like Alex over Matt? I feel like it's a golf course that Matt could play well.
I just think he's continuing to get better and better. And like we talk about fatigue, the amount of emotional and energy boost he got after the win, and then to back it up the way he has, played great last week at Quail Hollow. I think the way he's driving the golf ball, he's got some pop in his bat. I think he's one of those guys that can really take advantage of this golf course off the tee, and his short game is the best part of his game, and you're going to need it out there.
You know, in golf, we focus so much on the winner, on the champion each week. Do you think Alex walks away from last week happy with the 4 days, or do you think he walks away disappointed?
I think a little disappointed. I mean, Chris played great coming down the stretch. They were in the last group together. I think Alex kind of lost the tournament on 15 when he didn't get it up and down for birdie, and Rayton made the putt. So, I mean, no, I think he's. I think it's a positive. I think last week was absolutely a positive for him.
Yeah, I mean, Rayton, by the way, new driver in the bag going into this week, which will be interesting to see what he does with a new club in the bag after the great win last week.
Golfers are insane.
I know Brooks.
Whoa, what?
He's just changing into
a new
head
driver
this week. Yeah.
This week.
Yeah, Rayton's got a new club in the bag. I know Brooks has a new putter in the bag. There's some slight.
He needs it.
Some slight changes. But, I mean, in terms of Brooks, again, playing some great golf, played really solid in the third round of Myrtle Beach, somebody that has dominated the PGA Championships in the past, and I feel like a guy leading the PGA Tour right now in terms of iron play, which surprised me when I saw that.
Yeah, I don't think that's adjusted number, and so him playing against those in Myrtle Beach, obviously great players, but he wasn't in the signature event with the top players in the field, so that could do something. It's been a while since he's been in the mix. I mean, the last major championship where he had a shot, was it the 23 PGA?
Believe so.
Yeah, last year he had a good opener at Oakmont, finished T12 there, but kind of sputtered off. And so, you know, to get the juices flowing, that's kind of what I said with Spieth, just – playing himself into contention. Brooks Koepka hasn't really been in contention in the mix late in the weekend in his return to the PGA Tour yet, so I've been a little surprised by that.
The way he drives the golf ball, though, looking at this golf course, the fairways have to absolutely look massive to him.
Like Oak Hill-ish, too, you know? Yeah.
A place he played okay at.
Yeah.
He's the champion there. Third time. If he wins again, he gets to four, which ties Tiger, which would be pretty well. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back. We have our official pick. So all the talk about which player we like to contend to potentially win this PGA Championship, we're going to kind of put our names on the board as we look at the putting green players prepping and preparing late on a Wednesday. We're getting close to 2 o'clock local time, almost time to go back to the hotel and chill. Back around Scorecard, going to get to our picks in just a moment, but I got to ask you guys, what's the filliest thing you've done to this point, and what do you have planned for the week?
I think the filliest thing that happened to me was a homeless woman has kind of been like yelling at me when I've been walking on the streets. And
like in a positive
manner?
It's
almost like a paid actress. And it's just like every time I walk out of our hotel, she's there just barking. It got to the point where yesterday a guy who was listening to a podcast like screamed back. He's like, baby, I'm going to make you famous if you keep on talking. You can come on my podcast anytime.
Oh, so you're getting some like some real conversation.
But I think that she, like every time I pop up, I turn the corner, I'm expecting her like around the 17th tee. I think that's the filliest.
I have to get her on set. What about you?
I haven't been yet, but I was at the rooftop bar at our hotel yesterday, and I was talking to some locals. I'm going to Angelo's to get a Philly cheesesteak. I don't know when, but it's happening soon. I've heard it's the best in town. Dave Portnoy gave the pizza a 9.1 rating as well, so it's going to be my...
Are you wit or wit out? Isn't that a thing here?
Yeah, that's the cheese thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just do...
I just do whatever
Cooper,
they tell
Cooper
me
sharp.
To do.
Okay,
yeah. Like, I mean,
fair
just,
enough.
Just if you... Serve it the way you serve it.
I did first night when I got there. I needed to eat, and so I grabbed a little bar bite. It was Philly cheesesteak egg rolls at the hotel.
Ooh.
They were phenomenal.
Oh, okay. Nice. Look at you.
So,
hotel guy. All right, I might have to sneak
is
over there with you.
Is that technically Asian fusion?
Yeah.
Or American fusion, probably?
Yes, I think American.
Philly fusion?
All right, we've talked Scotty, obviously. We've talked Cam Young. We've talked Matt Fitzpatrick. Time to actually give out who we think is going to win the tournament. But we'd like to start with who's not going to win the golf tournament. Johnson, I'll start with you.
Justin Rose, for all the reasons we talked about.
Yep.
I've got Justin Thomas as well.
Played solid last week.
He did. I walked with him Sunday, and he's got that new putter in the bag. The putter was cold as ice on Sunday, probably because of my presence, since I froze him out. But I just don't think he's going to get it done. I don't think he's ready to win again yet. And then Wyndham Clark, just have to.
Just continuing.
I just don't. I like the way he chips it. Big corridors for his big slice out there, but I just don't think he can put it together.
Okay. Some compliments there.
The JT thing, again, kind of going back to storylines, I think JT's probably a top 7 or 8 storyline just in terms of getting back to the winner's circle and potentially getting a third Wanamaker. I mean, you think about players that have had success at singular majors. Justin has not played great at the other majors, but this has been the one where he's done his work.
Yeah, and his game is close. I think he's going to win again this year, but it's just not right now.
Two Justins on your list, huh?
Yeah, I don't like Justin.
Would you guys trade 2 Wanamakers for one of the other majors?
I don't think so. I think it's 2. Okay. I think it's important. I think you got to beat the, you know, they like to call it the best field in golf, 97 of the top 100 in the world in the field this week. I think you got to roll with it.
Okay, interesting.
I'd trade it for a green jacket.
I think I would, too.
There you go. All right, Patrick, who you got in terms of can't win?
Can't win this week. I'm going with Russell Henley.
I always like how you look like you're making him up as you're thinking.
Well, I had to kind of peek over there
to
confirm who I had. I believe Russell Henley's name is on that list, so I got to stick to it since he's on the rundown. But I heard, you know, I'm trying to confirm this report that he is sharing a hotel room with Sam Stevens this week.
Like a hotel room?
Separate queen beds, but in the same room. Russell Henley, $50 million in career earnings. Sam Stevens, an additional 10. And that's the word on the street. I'm trying to chase a quote from him after this to confirm that. But that's unconfirmed at the moment. I don't love that. I don't know who's snoring. I don't know who has one of those masks or what. But
that's a sound machine in between the beds turned all the way up? That's the way you're doing it?
Yeah, you're looking the other ways, too. You're not looking at each other at night. So Henley's not on the list. Tommy Fleetwood, I don't think he's going to get it done this week. I know he played well at Quail Hollow, but the iron play has been kind of mixed for him so far this year, and same with the putter, too. And then my last one, I'm trying to think off the top. Justin Thomas, I agree with him. But I think finally I'm going to go with Colin Morikawa, which is kind of a cop-out answer given the injury.
How old are you?
I'm old enough.
You're you're in your 30s?
We can't talk. It's 2026, Shane. I don't think you're legally allowed to ask that question.
I just was wondering, John. I know Johnson and I are aged out of this, sharing rooms on a golf trip. Are you guys still sharing rooms on a golf trip?
Oh, no.
You're out.
We're out on that. Yes. Yeah. Well,
I'll stay with my brother. I'll stay with my brother on a golf trip.
That's right. Support my own place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you're trying to play a major championship.
I'm unconfirmed at the moment. I'm technically a journalist.
I'm on the same side of the tee sheet. I'm gonna have to look at that. All right, who is going to win this golf tournament? Here are three names.
I went kind of chalk with Scotty and Rory. Obviously, I think they're clearly the two best players in the world. I mean, when you look at how many four of the last six majors have been won by Rory and Scotty. But I'm going off the wall a little bit for my person who's actually going to win, and that's Ludvig Åberg. When I walked this golf course yesterday, I'm thinking there's no way Ludvig Åberg's not winning this golf tournament. This is tailor-made for his game, and he's been on decent form.
Did you just say tailor-made because the trucks are behind us?
Oh, is it?
And you're a tailor-made guy? Why you said that?
It's the Iron Chef himself.
Unbelievable. The man knows where the paychecks come from. That's very well done. I like that. Who do you have in terms of winning? By the way, Ludvig, I believe, top eight in six of his last eight tournaments. I mean, he's played excellent golf under the radar as of late.
Yeah, I went a little off the board just because you guys were peppering the top of it. And so, you know, a little variety. It's like salt, pepper. Bring the real spice.
There you go.
Right now. Sam Burns is going to be one of them.
Okay.
His major championship play has really improved these last couple of years. And then maybe the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania owes him one for what happened down the stretch at Oakmont.
Yeah.
As well, I was very impressed with his staying power at Augusta National. Island starred his name after he hit one in Rays Creek on Friday, and he proved me wrong in that.
Yeah, the Unstar.
And then Chris Goddrup, I've mentioned him. I think he's ready to take that next step. He's won big tournaments against big players, and I think a place like this fits him too. And then finally, you were talking about the refrigerator. I'm talking about the rain delay himself. Patrick Cantlay, a name that has not been brought up. He's playing some much better golf. You put Patrick Cantlay on bent grass in particular, and the numbers pop off. So
are you leaning into that, or are you going Cantlay as your winner?
Yeah, he's going to go four corners, Dean Smith style. Everyone's going to be trying to play quick, and he's going to slow the tempo down, and everyone's going to play into his hands.
Winner, though.
I'm going with Ludd.
So you're not going?
No. Those are can wins.
Seven picks there?
Those are can wins.
I think you named everybody in the field. Where was Blocky?
The will wins are Ludd. Blocky is on the might win list.
I like that. Playing alongside
the win
DJ.
The people.
You got Ludvig as well, though.
Yes.
You like Ludvig as well.
Ludd's the pick.
My can win list, I got to look at it. I got Scotty as well. I feel like this could be a big 4-5-6 shot win for Scottie Scheffler. Feels like coming in, the week off, came in on Sunday, played a practice round, the prep, the golf course, everything. Obviously the success as well. I like Scottie. I like Ludvig as well. I got him on my can win list. But I'm going to go with what I think is outside of Jordan Spieth, the story potentially come Sunday. I think this is Ricky Fowler's time.
Wow.
I think Ricky Fowler finally gets his major championship, playing solid golf, had that incredible final round just a few days ago. The stats are impressive. Don't have to overpower the golf course. Putting great. Iron play is great as well. Ricky.
Is he going to have full orange pants on, or is it going to just be orange shirt?
So I have a question. If he wins on Sunday and you dump champagne on most people, do you bring out the Tropicana orange juice and dump it on him if he gets the victory?
I think he activated that sponsorship perfectly at Doral on Sunday. I don't think you can double down with another OJ activation.
Okay, well, yeah. I knew it was leading towards something, knowing Ricky Fowler, but that'd be great if we got a Ricky win. That'd be a lot of fun around this golf course.
It would be an unbelievable storyline. He's come close so many times. I think it would be a real popular win.
Ricky Fowler, I have this is 56th major championship start of his career. Pretty incredible considering what we saw back in 2015, top five in all the majors. He's been a guy that's come close. He's been a guy that has battled the likes of the biggest names in the game. And again, you talk about popularity-wise, people would love it. But fellas, like to do this in person. Wish we could do it in person more often. I thought it went okay.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
You guys were happy with it?
Yeah.
As long as you guys were happy with it.
That was pretty good.
Now we're going to focus on dietary stuff in terms of Philly and hopefully not get screamed at by people outside of the hotel. But, of course, a lot more coming your way. HQ and beyond, going to be a great week here at Arana Mink. Excited for this PGA Championship. And a reminder, we will have post-round coverage on Scorecard starting Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Wags got to stay late.
Podcasts.